Welcome everybody here this morning as we gather together to worship God. And we're going to start off with a silent quiz, I guess you could say. We're going to start off, I'm going to give you some dates, and let's see if we can all remember what event took place on that date. We're going to start with July 4th, 1776. Most of us, hopefully, are aware that the Declaration of Independence was signed on July 4th. This is why we celebrate July 4th every year as Independence Day, because it's when we declared independence. Some of you may remember, and most of us, I hope, are aware of what about December 7th, 1941, also known as the Day of Infamy. This was in a speech given by the president at the time, FDR. December 7, 1941 is when Pearl Harbor was bombed. And so now December 7th, people remember that. And for those of the great, what we call the greatest generation, like Keith and Dwayne, what about May 8th, 1945? This is going to be a harder one. May 8th, 1945. This is known as VE Day. And if you're not familiar with VE Day, Victory in Europe is what that stands for. And then the next one, which is right next to it, August 15th, 1945, is known as VJ Day, Victory in Japan Day, representing the end of World War II. These dates are all significant, especially to those individuals who lived during that period of time. And for many of them, those dates are etched into their minds. Those dates are associated with those events. There are people even today who on December 7th, their first thought is about the bombing of Pearl Harbor. July 4th, all Americans, most Americans, remember and think about the fact that we have independence because of the actions that were very dangerous at the time to do. They signed the Declaration of Independence. And all of this, we associate this because of recently the 9/11 was on Friday. And of course we remember, I'm sure every one of us can remember where we were on September 11, 2001. And these dates, this date has become synonymous with the remembrance of the attack on the United States by those involved in terrorism. 2,977 individuals lost their lives in the attack on the Twin Towers, as well as at the Pentagon, and the jacking of another flight as well. And we remember not only the attack, we remember those who died, and remember the price that sometimes we pay for being the freest country in the world. But these dates have significance not because of the days themselves, but because of the events that took place on those dates. And for generations after, or at least for that generation and at least perhaps the generation next after, those dates continue to be very aware of the memory, of the memorial of those days. I want to consider this morning some events of remembrance when it comes to being a Christian. And we could fill this list with a whole lot of events from both the Old Testament and New Testament, but we're going to focus just on four of them. The first one we want to discuss, events of remembrance, don't so much have to do with an actual date per se, as much as it is the event that took place and why it's so important to remember. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 23, Paul writes to the Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. This is an important event. And for the Christian, this is an event that is memorialized not once a year, not twice a year, but every Lord's Day. Every Lord's Day, we gather together with those of like precious faith, and we take of the Lord's Supper, the bread, which represents his body, and the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. And as Jesus commanded, do this in remembrance of me. And as Paul associates this remembrance as proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes, there is significance in the remembering of an event, especially an event, as Keith mentioned in his prayer, that was so violent, so visceral. In fact, our bulletin this morning kind of goes into depth a little bit about the sacrifice of the Lord and making sure we don't gloss over it in our minds when we remember it, but that we remember Jesus in the garden praying three times to his Father that that cup might pass from him. That we remember how that he stood trial a total of five times, both before Pilate as well as the high priests, as well as Herod. This is an important event for the Christian. And it is an event that we cannot allow ourselves to forget. And for 2,000 years, every Christian who has named the name of Christ, who has sought to follow him, has remembered. This isn't something that went away after the first 100 years or that was forgotten. But for 2,000 years, it has been remembered every Lord's Day. And it will continue to be remembered until he returns. The second event that we need to keep in mind, second event that is important to the Christian, is the resurrection of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 1, Matthew 28 and in verse 1, after Jesus has been killed on the cross, after he was put in a tomb for Friday, Saturday, and now Sunday, we find starting in verse 1, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, verse 5, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Verse 8, so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. You know, imagine, especially being these disciples, being these women, seeing these angels who were present at this event, seeing the guards just faint, apparently, and seeing the tomb empty, being told by an angel of the Lord that he is risen from the dead. Picturing that event, understanding the power involved in that event, and understanding its implications for you and me are crucial as remembrances as Christians. We cannot forget what that means. 1 Timothy in chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 8. Should be 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 8, Paul, as he writes to Timothy, he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul, he calls on Timothy to remember the truth of the gospel that Paul taught. And the crucial element of that, which is that Christ was raised after he suffered, And as Paul encourages Timothy, as Timothy himself was going through persecution, Timothy, it is worth it. As we suffer, just as Jesus suffered, Jesus was raised from the dead, one day we too will be raised. That's the application that Paul is intimating to Timothy. And in fact, he even refers to that salvation in Christ Jesus because of the resurrection from the dead in verse 10. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul deals with the fact that he was willing to give up everything that he had. He counted it all as rubbish just to obtain the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus and to obtain to the resurrection of the dead. That is what he strove to obtain. The third event in every Christian's life that needs to be remembered is the fact that we were baptized. Whether we remember the date, whether we remember the events surrounding being baptized, who it was that baptized us, what we were thinking and feeling in that moment, remembering the components of when we were willing to confess that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, remembering that we confessed His name, that we sacrificed ourselves to Him, that we gave ourselves to Him in baptism, is a crucial memory for us. A crucial event for us to think about. In Acts chapter 22 and in verse 16, a man named Ananias spoke to Paul, known then as Saul, told him, "Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." This is Paul as he's recounting these events that took place in Damascus, both on the road to Damascus and then in Damascus. Then Ananias called on Paul to arise and be baptized, be immersed, and wash away your sins. There's no doubt that Paul, this was an event that Paul remembered. And I'm sure that this is an event that Paul thought back to. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 12 through 16, notice how Paul refers to himself as the chief of sinners to Timothy. And he remembered certainly the type of person that he was, the type of sinner that he was. In fact, he refers to himself in verse 15, he calls himself the chief sinner. He says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." It wasn't that God thought his sins were worse than anybody else's. It was that Paul thought his sins were worse. This is how Paul viewed his sins, his past, because he persecuted the church that belongs to Christ. But, as Paul says in verse 16, "However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life." In other words, Paul says, if I, the chief of sinners, persecuting the church that belongs to Christ, if I can be saved, then there is no such thing as being too lost to be saved. And I have no doubt that Paul's memory of that event with Ananias back in Damascus served to strengthen him and remind him that he had given himself up completely to serve the Lord. In fact, he even reminds the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 of this very thing. After Paul lists this list of those who will not inherit the kingdom of God, the unrighteous, and he lists not a comprehensive list by any means, but he describes fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, thieves, verse 10, drunkards, extortioners, and so forth. He says in verse 11, "And such were some of you." Some of the brethren in Corinth were these very things that Paul references in verses 9 and 10. "But you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Notice how Paul, he applies that memory of the event of being baptized, of being washed clean. He calls on the Corinthians to remember that they have embraced changing themselves from being ones who sought out sinful pleasures to ones who sought to please God. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You are no longer these people who give themselves to such things. Remembering the fact that we were baptized. Whether we can remember all the details or not, depending for some of us, it may have been many, many years ago. But remembering the fact that we had given ourselves to the Lord and not forgetting that fact is a crucial event for us, a crucial memory for us as Christians. And then finally, in Acts chapter 17 and in verse 30, there is one event that hasn't quite happened yet. However, we have the promise and assurance from God that it will. And it's based on one of the events we've already discussed. In Acts chapter 17 and in verse 30, as Paul preaches at Mars Hill to the Athenians, he says in verse 30, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Why should they repent, Paul? Verse 30, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. That's why all men should repent, because a judgment day is coming. Well, where's the proof of this, Paul? He goes on to say in verse 31, he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. When we think about Jesus' death, what he was willing to sacrifice, all for you and me, to fulfill the Father's will that we might have an opportunity for salvation. When we think about his resurrection, which according to Paul in Romans 1 and verse 4, declared him to be the Son of God with power. We think about the fact that because of everything Jesus did, we have the opportunity to be baptized, to have our sins washed away. We should also be mindful that God has guaranteed that there will be a judgment day. And this is why he calls on us to remember. Why he calls on us to repent of sin. And calls on us to turn to him. He has given assurance that this judgment day will come by raising Jesus from the dead. That day will come. And we have to remember every step of the way what Jesus went through for you and for me and the commitment that we have made to serve him, not only by having our sins washed away, but by being buried with him in baptism into his death, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, giving ourselves to serving him faithfully and obediently. That's the lesson for you this morning. Something to think about as we consider events in history that have become synonymous with the dates on which that took place. This is something that I've been thinking about as 9/11 was approaching last week. And the fact that as human beings, we remember events. A lot of times the easiest way to remember those events is based on their dates. However, as Christians, we don't associate the dates so much with the events. We associate the significance of those events. We associate the Lord's Day because God told us to observe this day, on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, as the day that we remember the death of our Lord and Savior. And that every Lord's Day, we are thankful for what he went through for us. We offer an invitation to those who are not Christians yet to take this opportunity to be baptized, to have your sins washed away, to begin your life anew, pure, holy, clean slate before God, seeking to serve him in all things, remembering what Jesus has done, and allowing that to motivate you to that home in heaven. For those of us who are Christians, no matter how old we get, how many years may pass since our being baptized, never forget what that represented and what it means. What it did by putting you into the body of Christ through the removal of your sin. Never forget what Jesus did for you and the fact that his resurrection means that there is a judgment day coming. Will we be ready? The lesson is yours if you're subject. Come forward as we stand and sing.